You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from your team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, and more. Great coverage of the Browns 2050 rookie class offseason team workouts. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. Also, you can get the interview we did with Ray Farmer, general manager of the Cleveland Browns, about 20 minutes talking about the draft this season. 216-578-0850. We're talking about the Cavs, talking Lyle Collins. What would you do, and what an unprecedented situation this is? Which Browns rookie will have the biggest impact this year as well? Let us know. We'll also talk quarterbacks, with yesterday Mike Pettine saying that he believes Josh McCown is the favorite to start opening training camp. That doesn't surprise me.
No, rightfully so.
Rightfully so, because Johnny Manziel's got to prove that he can be in that discussion going forward. 216-578-0850. We got Scott on a cell. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Great. How are you? First off, Cam Irving, every time I hear that guy talk, and the more highlights I watch, I'm just so confident he's going to be amazing.
Right.
On the Lyle Collins stuff, I think you guys ended up checking off some of the boxes I was calling in about in terms of, you know, allocation pool on the undrafted free agents. And most likely, I think a lot of teams have probably chewed through a good portion of that already unless they planned for Lyle. And then I don't think there's really any flexibility on the first 3 years of the contract. So you already hit on, you know, he's playing for a second contract already. Then if you start to kind of hone that in Brown specific, you know, one of the first things I would do is probably get Joel Bitonio and Cam Irving on that jet to fly down and talk to him and kind of give him the sales pitch. But, you know, I think Lyle would have the opportunity to learn his first 3 years, whether we could re-sign him or not, with a future Hall of Famer, a Pro Bowler, and two other guys who I believe are going to make many Pro Bowls. You know, what better way would there be to learn the game for the first 3 years than from those guys? Not to mention that I think Flip has already said he's going to employ some of the zone scheme, some of the more, you know, different schemes. So I think he would also become a more versatile lineman. I just think the situation here could be very worth him taking a good look at, especially relative to some of those other teams that you talked about, Miami, Tampa, you know, even New England. They could be on the downside in terms of where their offensive lines are, or at least in the Patriots' case. You know, I don't know how long Brady's going to be around, but if he's thinking about winning it, I don't know how many more chances they're going to have to do that.
No, you're right, and thank you for the call. And that's where kind of I was going. Him being recruited is all fine and good, but in some cases what he and his agent have to find out is, where's my best opportunity to play and be a starter, the sooner the better, and earn? And that's my, and based on what we've learned thus far with the little amount of money he's going to get up front and playing at rookie minimum a minimum salary for his first, second, and third year in the National Football League, what's going to give me the opportunity to prove myself as an undrafted free agent with a first round grade to then be the best way to get that long-term deal? Because that's the soonest he's going to be able to make up the money that he lost not going in the first round. So that's what he's got to weed through, because everybody's going to want a first-round talent at an undrafted free agent price. Duh, hello, that makes a lot of sense. I don't care who you are across the league, how good your offensive line is, you want that because of the bargain that you're getting. For Lael and his agent, it's finding that system that he can be implemented immediately and start potentially week one like he would have had he been drafted in the first round, so he can play for three consecutive. If the guy has 40-plus starts, you know, maybe a third, you know, second team all pro one of those years, he's going to garner a huge deal after that third season.
This is pretty easy for me. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. I really would only be talking to Bill Belichick. I'd be talking to the Packers. I'd be talking to the Colts, and I would be talking to the Seahawks, and that's it.
You're right.
I wouldn't talk to any other teams.
You're right about that. And where you're going, and kind of just simply because as a former player, I've seen it happen in front of myself, and I've made this mention before about the Cleveland Browns when it comes to free agents and it comes to teams. Teams happily spend their money when they're winning consistently. They want to retain talent. They want to accumulate as much talent. They want to spend. Because when you spend, in some cases, you're getting top-tier talent, and when you have top-tier talent at the right spots and a solid head football coach and general manager who knows what he's doing, you're naturally in the playoff hunt every single season. And that's what you're mentioning, those three teams.
Yeah, you have a rare opportunity to go as one of the better players in the draft to go to that good of a team. I think that is an unbelievably rare opportunity. And if I'm him, as I said, there are only four teams I'd be talking to. The Seahawks, the Patriots, the Packers and the Colts. Maybe the Broncos, but I would think Peyton Manning's there for 1 year. With Tom Brady, you still have a few more years. Certainly with Aaron Rodgers, you have plenty of years. To me, that's I don't know why. Why are you even talking to the Dolphins? Why are you talking to the Buffalo Bills? Why would you be talking to the Browns? If I'm Lyle Collins, that's what I'm doing. I think it's a fairly easy process.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick says, hey, I want you to come here. Tom Brady's like, I want you to come here. Let's win some more Super Bowls. Or Aaron Rodgers is wine and dine me. That's going to be a tough decision which great situation I choose. But those are the only teams I'm talking to.
And to kind of go back on my comments about, you know, why New England might not make a lot of sense. And simply because last night I actually got a chance to sit down on the couch, relax after a crazy 4 days covering the draft, and watch the Draft Academy and the visit Jameis Winston took to the University of Michigan, sit down with Harbaugh, Jed Fish, the quarterback coach, offense coordinator, and talked about what those interviews are going to be like. And obviously Jameis was with a few negative knocks against him between standing on top of the tail and yelling obscenities and then the crab leg ordeal or whatever. It was like, own it, but be very clear with exactly what your side of the story is and what is factual when it comes to you. And in Lyle's case, the authorities have already said he is not a suspect, you know?
Right.
So it's basically negative attention on him that has worked against him when it comes to the NFL draft and has brought us about this circumstance that Adam Schefter has reported has never happened when it comes to the NFL draft before.
I wonder if the Patriots would be interested just because of Aaron Hernandez. I wonder if the Patriots might say, okay, we're not into it. And then for me, that'd be okay, fine. I'm going to go talk to the
Move
Packers.
On down the line.
I'm going to go to the Colts,
right,
or the Seahawks.
You've got and the four teams that you're mentioning are the four
best teams
in the league. The AFC, NFC championship games all over again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. And I mean, Lyle, you hope that a young man like him, in some cases, went about the draft wrong, but has an opportunity to right the ship right now with him, his managers, and his agent to find him the best situation and what they have to do. And patience in this case is truly a virtue for a guy like Lyle Collins, because they want to find the situation for him to make up the money that he missed being a first-round draft pick, and you can't do it. You've got to prove your value for 3 years and then break the bank. And that's very difficult for an agent to hear and a prospect of his talent to wrap his head around in the last 5 days.
And I would imagine that those teams probably have the biggest portion of their $80,000 left, because their sales pitch to an undrafted free agent is, you make this team, you're playing for a championship. They don't really have to sell them on being there.
No.
It certainly is an interesting and unprecedented thing. Let's bring in our producer, Jason Gibbs. He's got some tweetage for us. What's up, Gibbs?
Yeah, a wide variety of tweets today coming
bring
in,
it
guys.
On.
Iron Will tweets at us, one of our big tweeters. Why doesn't Collins just sit out a year, re-enter the draft, and make millions next year instead of in 3 years? Good question.
I believe that when they did not revoke his draft status and he went undrafted, I don't believe that he is eligible
he
to
is
do
not.
That.
Interesting. There's no chance for supplemental, right?
Doesn't seem that way.
No.
Okay. Tyler East tweets at the show. For Collins, small investment, big reward, if not guilty. Again, the guy's not been charged with anything.
And they said yesterday he is not a suspect.
Yeah. I mean, that could change based on the line of questioning, but a couple more tweets coming in earlier in the show. We asked to rank the Browns quarterbacks from 1 to 4. Brian Fox tweets at us. He's got his rankings. Interesting. Number 1, Connor Shaw. Number 2, Josh McCown. Number 3, Thaddeus Lewis. Number 4, Manziel.
That's just
hashtag
being
start Connor Shaw.
That's just being a hater. And listen, Connor Shaw, I love him. I think that he's got the heart that you want, the moxie that you want. He has the makeup you want. If he was a little bit bigger, had a little bit better arm, I think Connor Shaw could be one of the great quarterbacks in the game. But he's got his limitations as well. And you're hoping that, you know, Connor Shaw can continue to develop, maybe get a little bit more arm strength and be something for you. Intangible-wise, I'm not even – intangible-wise and reliability-wise, I wouldn't maybe not even disagree with that particular order. But I think, you know, that's just – being a little bit of a hater towards Johnny.
Right. Sure.
Correct.
Absolutely. And in my eyes, to comment on this, if you walked up to Connor Cook and asked him.
Connor Shaw.
Connor Shaw, and asked him that very same question, he may semi-confidently, kind of agree with the fact that I could start you know, 16 games for this football season simply because an NFL athlete has the ego and a belief in himself unlike any other. But realistically, should he be starting 16 games with the talent, you know, that Johnny Manziel has and where he was drafted? He was drafted there for a reason, and Connor Cook, again, had 32 teams pass on him 7 times and then land here in Cleveland last year as an undrafted free agent.
You are a big Connor Cook fan,
he is a big
you?
Connor Cook fan.
It's on your brain right now,
it is
dude.
On the brain. It is on his mind.
Did I say it again?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Ted from WY, happy birthday. Kind of loyal listener, get a
That's
birthday
right.
shout out.
Happy birthday, bro.
He says, all this team needs is decent quarterback play. Got that from Hoyer for half a year, and they can win. I believe a sober Johnny, focused, can do that. You and me are hoping that as well. William Klepper tweets at us, will the Browns try the rolling pocket for Johnny?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of running the football and then a lot of bootlegs, get him out outside the pocket, move it around.
And again, if we had a whiteboard in here and we were ever on a video on some live stream or on Browns.com or the mobile app, I would love to draw up the one thing that I talk about in the passing game, which is very difficult for a defense but allows a quarterback who's not so comfortable in the pocket, is a waggle action. It's like of a half roll.
Yep.
But yet you're kind of just recreating the pocket a few yards to the left, a few yards to the right, but not off a full-on play action or a bootleg type action. It's kind of like a half bootleg, but then you stop, and then you take an opportunity to throw the ball down the field. So it gets the defense.
Rodgers does that all the time.
All the time. And why are guys so open? Because it gets the linebackers flowing, it gets the safeties biting, it gets the corners in chase mode. And then you're actually able to they have to react to the route. Because you have to clear run before you can actually just go right back in your drop. And because if you see a team just going right in their drops, especially here in Cleveland, we're going to run the football down their throat. We want to catch you, 7 yards deep, and we know we're going to get 4 yards in a cloud of dust before you're even going to touch us and react to the run. So that's the type of action I think Johnny Manziel will be very successful in.
All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, we'll hear some sound from draft weekend. Mel Kiper Jr., Bill Poley, and Todd McShay breaking down the Browns draft and their picks. That's coming up right after this on ESPN 850 WKNR. I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars. We'll be counting stars.